Let's see if we get any penetration with the elephant gun on episode number 23 of the Retro Rewind podcast.
Doesn't sound right.
Retro Rewind podcast initialized. Mission identified. Tremors. 1990. Co-hosts online. Auditory analysis online. All systems nominal.
Welcome, everyone, to the Retro Rewind podcast. This is the podcast where we look at movies and video games from 15 or more years ago and let you know whether they're still worth revisiting today. You can find the show notes for this episode at retrorewindpodcast.com/RRP23. And there you can leave a comment on what you thought about the show. You can vote in our poll on whether you thought Tremors was a classic or second class. And you can also find links to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and more. My name is Francisco Ruiz. I am a dad, a designer, but I don't drive a dozer. And I am joined, as always, by my good friend and co-host, Paul Powers. How are you doing today, Paul?
Doing well. You're getting more creative with the D's instead of just simple adjectives. Now you're putting in whole phrases and sentences.
Well, I kind of have to because I'm running out of D words. My question for you this time, Paul, is if you had to go up against a graboid, what weapon would you choose?
C4.
C4, okay. You won't worry about blowing yourself up?
No. Because one of the movies, the sequel, starting out with someone in the truck just dropping dynamite and blowing them up?
I think that's number two.
Yeah, anyway, so that seemed pretty easy, the easiest way to...
All right. And we are joined this time around. You've heard him before, the man, the myth. Kellen Arb is back on the show. Welcome, Kellen.
Thank you. Yes, glad to be here.
And I would typically say, oh, well, we've heard from Kellen before, so we know what he does. But you've actually changed jobs and states since last time you've been on the podcast. Wow. So would you please tell us what you're doing these days?
Yeah, so I'm doing something similar. Before I was doing software development, now I'm doing security software analysis, I suppose. And I am in Texas now, Austin, Texas.
Very cool. Oh. And what is your favorite Kevin Bacon movie?
Ooh.
Much harder question.
Well, several come to mind because Kevin Bacon is almost as delicious as his food namesake. I really enjoyed him in X-Men First Class.
Oh, yeah. I forgot.
Which is also the most recent I know of that he did, so maybe that's cheating. But
was he in Iron Man 3? Oh, wait. No, that was Guy Pearce. Never mind.
Yes, which is not a food name at all, so way off.
But he played a similar role. The best description that I've heard for his role in the X-Men First Class is that Kevin Bacon basically played himself.
Yes, a fancier himself.
Yes.
Yeah, but I thought that worked really well because he's really good at playing himself.
Yeah, he's the best.
But you know what? He probably didn't play himself too much in Tremors. So let's get back to Tremors. And Paul, tell us what we're going to be doing today.
Of course, just like every other episode, we have a roundtable discussion on whether we think this movie is a classic or second class. And then right after that, we go into our new tube segment and wrap it up with feedback, contact info, and show announcements, if there are any.
Exactly. All right. Thank you, Paul. Alice, do we have a target, or have you found our target, I should say?
Alert, alert, target located. Spoilers incoming. Engaging retro rewind reactor.
Shh, it's about to start.
It is about to start. Don't make any noises.
Oh. Like this?
Oh, shh. They're gonna get you. Shh.
Here they come.
Perfection. A scorched outpost in the middle of nowhere.
You know how close I am to leaving this place right now? How close?
Maybe that's why Val and Earl decided to leave town.
Oh, whoa, 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 whoa!
Hey, hold up. That's Edgar Deans.
They just picked the wrong day to do it.
Jeez.
You guys better get late.
I'll give you boys $5 for this. 20.
That's how they get you. They're under the ground.
What the hell are those things? How could they eat a whole station wagon?
But where do they come from?
I vote for outer space. No way these are local boys.
You see, they're headed right for us.
No Richter scale can measure it.
They're coming!
No scientist can explain it.
Bert, they're under the ground!
You didn't get penetration even with the alpha gun.
Run, run!
And no one knows what to call it.
Megaworms or suckers or suckoids.
Now this valley is just one long smorgasbord.
Now it's up to Val and Earl to save the world.
That's one big mother.
Who died and made you Einstein?
And they know just what to do. Flip for it.
Damn.
Kevin Bacon, Fred Ward, Tremors.
That's right. Tremors, let's talk about. But Paul, will you please tell us the technicals of this movie?
Yeah, technically they didn't flip for it. They rock, paper, scissored for it.
Good, it wasn't even point. Rock, paper, scissor.
Yeah, it was.
No, it was even odd.
Oh, I thought it was rock, paper, scissors.
Oh, that's why they're throwing ones and twos.
Oh, I didn't know. It was kind of like
wait,
far
what?
Away. Didn't notice.
I could
You'll have to watch it doing... again now, Francisco.
I guess so.
All right.
But will
All right.
I before want we get, to?
Yeah, before we get too technicals, let's talk about the technicals. this movie Tremors came out in January of 1990. January 19th is rated PG-13. It's 96 minutes long, directed by Ron Underwood and wrote by some people. Sorry.
They wrote it.
Yeah, basically it was written by the same guys who wrote Short Circuit.
Okay.
It starred Kevin Bacon and Fred Ward and several other people, like the dad from Family Ties.
Michael
and,
Gross, I think.
Yeah, and Reba McEntire. And then the young girl from Jurassic Park. Mm-hmm. And some other people are in there. But, yeah, and let's see, this movie was made for about, sorry, you may have to edit this out, Francisco.
I believe it was $11 million.
Yes. Okay, so the budget was for $11 million, and it wound up making about almost $50 million worldwide.
Woot.
Yeah, and the U.S., they barely made profit, about $16 million, but they made a ton of money in rentals afterwards.
Yeah, totally see that being the case. Thank you for those technicals, Paul.
You're welcome.
Now, let's go ahead and I'll read our memory mind meld for what we remembered Tremors being like between the three of us. So the movie Tremors starts with Kevin Bacon lives in a small town in a desert valley where people start disappearing. And a truck gets sucked into the sand, which was seriously awesome. And then, not sure where the creatures come from, but Kevin Bacon and a friend find out these giant earthworms can be killed. Kevin Bacon steps up as the hero and is unintentionally hilarious. The survivors of the town make their way to the mountains on a bulldozer, killing the remaining graboids with dynamite strapped to RC cars. And I think I'm going to have to play this for some of that.
Yeah, because the RC cars were in a sequel,
the second or
right?
The third
yeah.
One. Yeah.
Yeah, number two.
And I admitted that when I sent it to him that I thought it might be from a sequel, but I thought they had done it in this one too.
Well, I thought I'd put it in.
If
for no other reason
good.
Than I like doing the Inception sound effect. Yeah, that was really loud this time. Anyways, let's give our quick fire predictions for whether we thought Tremors was going to be a classic or second class. Let's start with Paul.
Second class.
And Kellen?
Second class.
And I thought it would be a classic. So, all right. Let's start with the things we loved about Tremors. And let's go to Kellen. Can I talk right? Let's go to Kellen.
Yeah, things I liked about it, things I thought were going to be great.
Exactly.
Okay. Sorry, your name thing threw me off.
It threw me off too, so no worries. Yeah.
Am I coolin'? I'm all right with that.
It's
so
the whole moving to Texas thing that threw him off.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
Well, howdy, y'all. So things that I remembered being great about it were my favorite scene that I remembered specifically was the station wagon, I think it was, getting sucked all the way underground and the people in it getting killed. Because that I just thought when I was a kid and I saw that, I thought that was so awesome.
Yeah.
Very awesome.
That's kind of like, oh my goodness. We're not just dealing with a dog underground. It's swallowed a whole station wagon.
It's right. And that's before you had ever seen it or anything. So you just suddenly know this thing is serious.
Yeah. It totally brings it up to a whole different level of oh my gosh, what are we facing?
Yeah.
Paul, so what did you think about the station wagon getting sucked in? Were there other scenes like that where you thought, whoa, these are huge things, or what were your thoughts on that?
Yeah. I liked when the couple with underneath the basement just was unloading their guns.
Oh, totally. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes,
that was,
that was
cool. I didn't see why they just didn't camp there. I mean, they had plenty of meat to eat. I don't know if you'd want to eat that kind of meat, but.
Well, to touch on that, I really loved the whole way how they're shooting at the creature and they're running out of ammo. And then the camera pans back to reveal this wall of all this artillery and weaponry.
Yeah.
That was just such a cool moment. I thought, I'm like, oh yeah, here we go.
Yeah, but then it seemed like it didn't do much. It's like they're shooting blanks. But then at the end, it's like, okay, they got it. They found the weapons that worked, but then they didn't proceed with it.
Well, I almost feel like, and Kyle, I'm curious what you think about this. I felt like it was is an effect in totality. Like if they had just used the elephant gun, that wouldn't have killed it. They needed to have weakened it all this amount to have killed it.
They had to take the HP down.
Exactly. Yes. Exactly. Exactly.
And I know this is treading on things that we didn't like, but when he shot that last, I guess it was the elephant gun, there should have been way more kick to it. Like he should have gone flying back 3 feet.
Yeah, I think.
Or
that is something
he didn't have enough
to.
For that. He should have had at least a few weapons that had that kind of kick to it.
Well, we can. I'm going to certainly talk about that and the things we didn't like, but Kong, go ahead.
Right. So my opinion, I loved that scene too. I thought it was awesome. Mm-hmm. But my assumption was essentially that when they were gearing up to do this, they were like, man, we're fighting monsters. We're going to need lots of guns. So they bought 100 different gun things and a whole bunch of blanks. And then they did the movie and realized, oh, we don't have much use for all of these guns. And so they did that one scene where they spend 5 minutes just shooting guns. And that's all it is. Just pick up a new gun. And none of it's really very effective. And yeah, both of them look like they've never shot a real gun before. Reba was especially funny.
Yeah. Shooting from the hip that.
Trying to do the cowboy thing, but none of them are actually kicking. And yeah, so I thought it was great, but in a very B-movie way.
Yes. Yeah, totally.
So, Francisco, what did you like?
Well, something I really liked about the movie was I liked Earl and Valentine's relationship. And I thought, not the relationship, but I really liked how earthy they were as characters. They seemed very real and very these are just these handymen out working in the desert. I didn't quite grasp why they were friends though, other than
they probably grew up together and then, one's way more older, but they've been obviously working a long time together.
Yeah. But I really appreciated their characters and how Kevin Bacon and Fred Ward portrayed them. I thought it was very real to me.
Yeah. Agreed.
Yep. I will totally agree.
Yeah.
Well, then we are having a heated agreement, it sounds.
No, I agree.
No. Paul, what was something else you really liked about the movie?
It's kind of corny, but I really, for some reason, enjoyed the moment when they took the poles and high vaulted across from rock to rock. It just seemed like a fun, like they were having fun. It's like, oh, I want to go do that. So it was like a 2 minute scene that I really enjoyed for some reason.
I'm totally on board with you. I enjoyed there for me. There are lots of moments like that where it was just an enjoyable time. It wasn't terribly heavy. Like it wasn't like serious all the way through. There were those lighter moments. Mm-hmm. And I really like that. What did you think about it, Kellen?
I'll say just as a generalization that those light moments are what made the movie so fun for me, because I never liked horror movies as a kid. Yeah. I still don't really like them much. Mm-hmm. And this is, you know, you could look at it and think, oh, it's definitely a horror movie, but it seems more fun and goofy. And so that, yeah, that is a perfect example of one of those moments that made it fun and enjoyable for me.
Exactly, yeah. I think you said it perfectly, Colin.
I always do.
And speaking of things you say perfectly, what is something else you really liked about the movie?
So I remember liking the, it's weird to say because I'll get to that in the next section, but I liked the effects of the graboids, like, like flying around underground. I thought it was kind of lame when they do the far away ones, you know, you just see the little smoke puffs, but when they have like the camera view of flying along just under the dirt and stuff, that was surprisingly well done and very cool.
Yeah, I'll let Paul respond. What did you think about those effects, Paul?
Oh, I thought it was great. I'm a fan, for the most part, of let your imagination freak you out.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So when you have those faraway shots with a puff of smoke, you're like, and if you haven't seen this, you're like, what is that? You know, that kind of thing is like an underground Godzilla or what?
Yeah, yeah.
So, and I did enjoy the moving along. It's a classic horror thing to like the viewpoint of the villain where like at the beginning where it's about to grab the college girl and Rhonda, she gets into the truck at the last second. Those are always fun.
Yeah, and I, to go off what Kevin was originally saying with the effects, I definitely liked pretty much all the effects. I thought they were all really well done, and I actually, for one, liked the little smoke trails and those, similar to Paul, those wide shots, because I thought it definitely hints at something without, I mean, I think it'd be a little much if you're seeing the creature all the time, then it doesn't become as scary, but just seeing it sort of the impact it has on the environment allows your imagination to fill in something that could be a lot more horrible, and in that way, yeah. I think it is cooler.
I will concede that point. I think you guys have sold me on the puppy smoke trail.
I do want to say though that when I was a kid, it's hard for me, like especially at the end where they're saying where they threw the dynamite and they saw that they scattered and there are two different trails. It's hard for me to tell what they're talking about because I only saw like dirt flying up. I just saw smoke trails in general. It didn't really seem like two different ones. Though watching this time, I could distinguish, but that...
Maybe when you were a kid, you didn't see it in widescreen.
I suppose that might have
been.
It
was cropped halfway. You just couldn't see the other.
Well,
there's only one. What are you talking about?
It happened a lot back then.
Yeah.
That kind of thing.
True. So something else I really liked related to the monsters is I really liked how they escalated how much you saw. And
that's what I was going to say.
Aha. But just the overall pacing of the movie, like you said, Paul, and starting out with sort of this point of view camera work of the monster. So you don't see the monster at all. You just see what the monster's seeing. And then you see the snake things that come out of the mouth.
Yeah.
And you see those for a while. Then you see the actual monster.
Yeah, I realize those snake things are just its tongue, part of its tongue. Yeah, I really liked how it escalated the intensity and the drama. What is it? The suspense and drama?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. Continue.
So, adding on that, one of the random factoids I found reading about the movie was that originally the movie do you have it? Go for it.
No. What were you reading? Factoids on Graboids?
Yes. Graboidfactoid.com.
All right.
I'm going to buy that domain now. But So it was, they were, the original movie poster had like a full picture of like the beast with the tongue snakes and everything. Mm-hmm. And the, I can't remember if it was the director or the producer, but somebody said, you know, instead you should just have nothing on it. Just, you know, some people in the desert. And they decided, okay, we'll meet halfway and do kind of the Jaws-esque, you know, mm-hmm. where you just see the teeth, but you still don't see much of what's going on at all. Mm-hmm. Because they really liked that it built up during the movie and didn't want to give it away on the movie poster.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. That makes sense. Though in the trailer, they give it away what it looks like, so.
Well, trailers suck.
Yeah.
That's true. And they're most also trailers, awesome.
Most trailers contain spoilers anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. Unfortunately.
So, look at that scene where they're all happy and hugging. That can't be the ending in a trailer, can it?
They could just be really excited about being in a movie.
Yeah.
So Tom Hanks is on a plane talking about how he survived the island. Maybe this is just a dream and he didn't really survive it? Oh, wait.
Wait, I thought that was Ewan McGregor on the island.
What?
No,
oh,
that's
my
the
gosh.
Island. Yeah, okay. Okay, Paul.
Didn't he survive the island?
I think he also survived an island, yes.
How about, I mean, yeah, Paul, you quiet now. Kellen, oh! How about you tell us something else?
Don't make me send a graboid after you. Liked
or loved about the movie.
Tarnation.
Tarnation.
What did I what?
What you loved about Tremors or just something else you liked about it.
And remember, this is in my old memory, not current memory, but Kevin Bacon. Like, before I went back and watched it again, I remember Kevin Bacon just being amazing because it's Kevin Bacon. How can he not be amazing?
And after watching it?
Yeah, after he didn't... Man, his hair was terrible.
Oh my gosh, like, his hair, yeah.
I couldn't stop looking at it. It was so bad. And it was supposed to be, but it was terrible. And his acting, I guess he was fully committed to the character, but I just kind of wanted to slap him for most of it.
Oh, really? I certainly didn't want to slap him for most of it, but his interactions with Rhonda, the college student person or graduate student, that has like really just like,
yeah, you're kind of a gross dude.
What was that?
I said he's either a gross dude or a completely inept.
Yeah, I sort of got the inept. That he came across as inept to me. I'm like, seriously, are you that like? I mean, maybe he's in the desert.
Yeah, I think they're going for a character arc, which is like, I'm total loser to by the end of the picture, you're like, you know what? I kind of like this guy. He's all right.
I think he does that in every other aspect except for his how he interacts with women.
Well, he kisses her eventually. I mean, that's, you know.
Yeah, and that I felt was like, I thought it was cute. I thought it was a cute moment, but I think in totality it felt a little forced.
I think the philosophy behind it was the speed philosophy of the movie Speed, where, you know, as long as they have like intense interactions, then they'll fall in love by the end.
Pop quiz, graboid.
Oh, no. Strap a bomb to a graboid. If it goes below 55 miles an hour, it blows up.
Can you see it just being nervous? And I'm so hungry. What do I do?
Oh my gosh, that's so awesome.
Wait, is Keanu Reeves like riding in the graboid all the time? I would watch that.
With Sandra Bullock driving the graboid?
Yes, just like holding onto its antenna. And
whoa.
As awesome as this idea sounds, Paul, was there anything else that you'd like to close out our love-like section with?
No way!
Whoa.
Oh my gosh.
I can't think of anything on it right now.
Okay. Well, how about you, Colin? And if something comes to mind, Paul, feel free.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm
sorry.
No, go for it.
Okay. I did like what Kellen was talking about before, the lighthearted moments, but it also had some intense moments, like the. Something as simple as a girl on a pogo stick became very intense at one point.
Yeah,
you know,
I thought
that was very well done.
Yeah, totally.
That's totally true. Yeah, that was one of the more intense moments, I think.
And I thought pretty much every time it seemed like they knocked one of the characters up from up high or onto the ground, that always was tense for me. Where like when it looked like Rhonda was got flown out the window. What?
It's like we made a movie so intense that people freak out. Oh no, they're touching the ground.
It's like when you're a kid playing lava.
Yeah, totally like that.
Terrifying.
Yeah.
Oh no, I'm on the ground. Ah. I want to take a moment before we leave the things we really liked to talk about. We got some Facebook comments to Tremors that I wanted to read. So Ryan R. Jackson said, ha ha, can't wait. The part with the tremor creature breaking into the survival guy's basement and him shooting it with a behemoth of a gun sticks out in my mind. Yeah, I think we all totally like that. And then AJ Hirsch says, my Uncle Bob said he was watching that movie late one night, just him and his dog. He kicked back in his recliner with his feet up and socks off. He got into an intense part and his dog licked his foot and he practically jumped out of his chair. I thought that was pretty funny.
I like that.
Yeah. And then, so that was just my personal Facebook post, but on the Retro Rewind podcast page, which you can find at facebook.com/RetroRewindPodcast, Tim Impock also commented, Tremors is a classic for sure. My favorite part is Reba McEntire and Michael Gross killing a graboid by firing it with a million bullets into it. I've seen it many times and I always enjoy it. Besides, everything is better with bacon, pun intended. The last thing I have is a couple things. I really loved a lot of the dialogue, especially some of Bert's lines, like when they ask him, why do you have cannon fiber? He's like, for my cannon.
Yeah, for my cannon. That was good.
But just, yeah, lots of fun lines like that I really liked. And I thought it was really interesting. So this goes back a little bit to the whole escalation dynamic. So you get these graboids that you see what the monster looks like. And then the way they make it even... And then you see there's four of them, and then how they go up the ante from there is they actually make them learn and smart. So often it seems like movie monsters, they're one trick ponies. They're just really big and they can destroy stuff, and that's about it. But these things, it is cool how they had this sort of internal tribal graboid knowledge.
Tribal, I don't know if I'm going to go tribal graboid knowledge, but they did get smart. Yes.
Oh, fine.
I see what you mean. Is they learn from each other's mistakes, yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I thought you meant they vote each other off the island.
Is that why they kept dying?
Yeah.
Oh, nobody likes Henry. He's a terrible graboid. He's gone.
Send him flying into a wall, gosh.
Yeah. Have him run into a wall.
If he lives, then I guess he's okay. If not, then we just proved our point.
It's not like these creatures like suddenly appeared and were like, oh man, we're underground. How does this work? You would have thought that they've been underground for a while and they might know how to tell if there is a wall in front of you. Well, I mean, they never went into the rocks, right?
That's a good point.
It's man-made, though.
But you'd think it'd be, you know, if it's vibrations, you feel something solid. I don't know.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point.
I have to say, I'm not a graboid, if it's going so at I'm that not an expert.
Yeah, not at that speed.
Yeah, and maybe... Maybe he was the
heat of the chase.
The heat of the chase, and maybe he was the omega of the tremor group. Poor Henry. So he wasn't too smart, and he's hungry, so he needed to eat those guys.
Oh, poor Henry the graboid.
But you make that. That's a really good point, though, Colin. That if they're underground this often, they should have gotten them. And then also in the very beginning, where again the POV shot of the tremor trying to get Rhonda, it's like, why are you going so slow? It seems like they should have been going fast and trying to get her really quickly, especially since she didn't know what was going on. It didn't make sense to me why they start out slow in that regard. I mean, I get it from a movie perspective, but...
It sounds like you're going into things that you don't like.
Ah, you're very quick on the uptake, Paul.
Segway.
But what are your thoughts on that, guys?
I didn't notice.
Oh, okay.
I thought that first one was just Sandra, who was the really shy graboid. And she's the one that, like, you know, when they're hiding on the roof, she's like slowly like touching the sides of the wall, like, guys, hey guys. You know, she's not the forward outgoing one.
Oh,
she's shy. Yeah, okay. So it makes sense.
Oh yeah, that okay. I'm sold.
Good. Okay. Another satisfied customer.
Paul, what was something you really hated about Tremors, if there was anything?
I hated the graboids. No.
I hated the whole point of this movie.
I thought they were kind of mean to the teenage boy. But I also found that character also annoying. So the whole thing just kind of bothered me.
What did
that
you
was
think
actually
about
mine was I hated that guy.
He hated Melvin.
Yeah, he needed to die.
Yeah, and he didn't though, did he?
No.
Yeah.
So disappointing.
I thought he would. It really annoyed me. He kept doing all these things that essentially he seemed like a. Is it Peter and the Wolf? Who's the kid that cries wolf, or is that
it's the boy who cried wolf?
Oh, okay.
He doesn't need a name.
Okay. He totally reminded me of the boy who cried wolf. And at the end, at the last time when he's actually in danger, it's like, yeah, that's exactly what you get for crying wolf so many times.
Yeah, well, at least he got the blank gun, the unloaded gun.
Oh, yeah, that was funny.
Yeah. That.
But I agree. He was totally an annoying character. And it would have made, I mean, I guess it was very, you didn't see that coming that he survived, but it wasn't. Yeah. It wasn't something that was like called out. It's sort of more something you think about at the end. It's like, oh wait, he survived. Why did he survive?
Yeah.
But
Kellen, not so that I wanted to see him die. I just thought, you know.
Yeah.
I did.
You wanted to see him die? Was there any other part of this movie that you wanted to see die, Kellen?
Okay. No. So I remembered the special effects being awesome. Mm-hmm. And the company that did it, Amalgamated Dynamics, which is like the best company name ever. they've done so many good things. They did, you know, X-Men First Class, which I mentioned recently, and they're doing Ender's Game, which I'm excited to see.
Oh wow.
And like a whole list of really impressive movies, Spider-Man 2, several of the Aliens movies.
I had no idea.
I was like, man, I remember these. The graboid was terrifying, and mm-hmm. the little snake things were creepy. But no, the snake tongue things specifically were hands in socks that were wet.
Yes,
and
that's
like
gross.
It was a. I mean, it's gross. It's not the kind of thing I would want trying to grab me. But it's not scary because it was very obviously a hand in a sock.
Go ahead.
Yeah, no, it's just that. That bothered me on rewatching because I had such high expectations and we just laughed every time the hand in the sock came on screen.
So I watched a little bit of the featurette of the movie, and it turns out, yes, there was a hand in sock that they actually ended up using a lot more than they thought they would, but they did have animatronic snake tongue things.
So I can see that. Socks, there are a few scenes where, like, I still liked the station wagon getting dragged mm-hmm. under scene because, like, they looked creepy and they break through the window and
yeah,
those
totally.
Look good. But every time they try to grab somebody, it was just like, you know, the psychologist sock puppet time. They were discussing their problems with each other.
Nice. Did you pick up on the sock puppetry? Paul, jeez, I keep confusing your guys' names. I'm sorry. Paul.
We're the same.
Yes. Sure, but, you know, you got to give them the benefit of the doubt. I mean, because what am I going to do with nothing? I mean, I guess you assume everyone did their best and, you know, enjoy it for what it is.
That's a terrible way of going about it.
It's a very magnanimous.
I can do my best right now with $25 and make the worst movie in the world, and you're going to like it because I tried my best.
Oh, I didn't say I like it. I said it is what it is.
Okay. I'll take that.
Yeah.
I'll watch it, Kellen. I think that'd be fun to watch.
I'm not saying that Unfortunately, or fortunately for my sake, I didn't go in this expecting the best kind of special effects. I was disappointed in that. Oh yeah, it does look a little dated and under budgeted, but oh well, we'll try to give them, you know, try to let it slide.
Yeah, only 11 million. They just, I don't know how they got by.
Yeah.
I totally forgot to bring this up in the love section, but speaking of 11 million, okay, never mind. I was going to say how the town is cool that they're outdoors and filmed outdoors so much, but you don't want to hear about that. So something I hated was...
it was filmed outdoors.
It was so dusty.
It made it look real.
What's with that?
No, getting back to the Bert and his elephant gun and that whole scene, it very much took me out of the movie when he picks out the elephant gun and he shoots it and the stock is under his arm. It seems like that would totally dislocate his arm if it had any type of... If an elephant gun, I would imagine, has a ton of recoil from all the
powder.
Powder, yes. Well, I was trying to think of what it's called when the powder explodes.
The kick?
The
boom? Explosion.
The boom. Boom.
It is
when
the boom.
When the stick goes boom.
When the boom stick... Yeah.
When the boom stick
goes... I feel like
goes,
there's an official... technical name for it, but anyways, it seems like, yeah,
anyway,
so it's an 8-gauge shotgun, which is ridiculous, and yes, that would like knock your shoulder off.
Yeah, I mean, but I would think you'd, if you kept it on your if you put the stock up against your shoulder, that's how you're supposed to hold it, then you have it may bruise it, but I would think it wouldn't dislocate. All that to say, it seemed very unrealistic.
And then it got even worse because they're like, yeah, we defeated it. Let's run to the mountains. I'm like, why? You just defeated it. Go defeat the rest. Paul, why you want to run to the mountain now?
I don't think they could lure all the... I mean, maybe they'd be able to lure all the other ones there, but...
There's a big hole right to their basement full of slaughter.
Is that an attractive thing?
Yes.
Other graboids are like, oh, he died there. I want to go there.
Yeah.
That looks fun.
Well, they're smart, Paul.
Well, they can, I don't know. But I wouldn't run away to the mountains. I'd be like, okay, now we don't need to run away. We can at least make base here and try to figure out how to communicate. Because how is going up to the mountains going to communicate to the outside world that they need help?
They're trying to get to Bixby.
Yeah, their goal was to go around it was just the mountain pass. And as soon as they did get trapped, the survivalist people were all mad that they had tricked them or convinced them into coming.
Exactly.
But they didn't know they were going to get trapped. They just thought, oh, we'll take the bulldozer. It'll be fine.
Yeah, plus, bulldozer. And how many miles away was the... And a bulldozer can go up mountains?
Yeah, it's got tank treads.
Yeah.
It has enough gas to go 47 miles.
That's
it. Wasn't 47. I'm pretty sure it was like 16 miles. Or, yeah, 36. It was. It was miles. Relatively short. But that was my first thought: was they're going to run out of gas?
Yeah. And I guess it didn't really matter because they were able to kill them all. Bwahaha.
Bwahaha.
Kellen, was there something else you didn't like about the movie?
Well, that was the biggest part in the kid, which we already talked about.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Paul, how about yourself?
I think this movie lacked in likable characters.
Really? You didn't like...
When you first meet everybody, there's Earl not someone that you're immediately drawn to, like hook on, like, okay, I'm rooting for this guy. Or this person. Because it's only after a while that you get to spend time with them that you're like, all right, I hope they get through this. There's no one that comes off the screen right away as likable, in my opinion.
Oh. See, I actually felt like I almost considered Earl and Val one character or one unit, so and they came off together as likable to me.
Oh, okay, peeing off a cliff and they're like these trash digging like bottom of the, I don't know, they seem to lack what's the word I'm looking for?
Culture?
Not
high
necessarily
society? Class?
Class. I will say class. Not that they have to like be cultured and educated, but at least they don't seem
classy?
No.
This isn't the Great Gatsby, Paul.
Friendly.
Oh. Yeah, I don't know if I'd peg them as necessarily friendly. I'd peg them as wanting to.
Now, I wouldn't say that they're unfriendly, but I didn't grab on to anyone that was friendly. Does that make sense?
It does. Kellen, okay. How did you latch on to anyone or feel the same?
Well, so yeah, I'll kind of agree that because I like them both as actors. And so seeing them together, I'm like, yeah, they're a good match and they should be great. But you're right, the characters, you know, you're supposed to like the hick because they're the one who's got plans or they're going to get out of this town. And they had those plans, but they just seemed like crappy plans because they weren't very capable individuals. And yeah. You wanted them to be good at something and they weren't.
Yeah, they're like, okay, they finally packed up all their stuff and they're heading out of town. And they're like, hey, there's somebody up there. Let's go stop by and see. Hey, there's this guy on his, and what's going over here on this ranch? Hey, all the sheep are gone. You know, that kind of thing. It's kind of like, I thought you were on your way out. Just go. Who cares if somebody's up on an electric thing?
See, I feel like that reveals their heart and their wine to help
they're
others.
They're bored. They don't want to help others. They were just stopped by and saying, who knows? They're bored. But there's someone up on a railing. Let's go talk to them.
No, they tell like people, there's a serial killer loose and you
gotta
get back to town. They're still wanting to help. They're not just caring all about themselves.
I didn't say they were totally. That's why I said they weren't
85%. I mean,
they
weren't. Francisco, come on.
Unfriendly, like I said, they're not unfriendly. They're just
not friendly. It's totally just different.
Yeah. I was gonna say unfriendly, but as in undead. But you just said they're not unfriendly.
Yeah. Anyway, so moving on.
Yeah, let's move on. Okay. I have one last thing. It's kind of minor that I didn't like about the movie. I felt like some of Rhonda's lines were contrived. I just didn't think they were very good.
For a college student?
Can you give an example?
Well, she's a graduate student, so she's not like 21. She's probably in her mid to late 20s. Anyway, the only example, I can't remember exactly, but it's like at the end where she's like, yeah, we're going to go get those guys. Pardon my French. I'm like, not guys, but the grad boys. I'm like, what? That doesn't seem like you at all to say that.
Well, so you don't know her well enough.
No. I thought that was actually a pretty funny line because it's because...
I know Earl would always say, pardon my French.
Yeah, exactly. I just thought that was attempting to hearken to that and that she spent too much time with them.
Oh, I totally got that. Yeah. I didn't think it was very good.
I will say overall, she wasn't a very well-developed character.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, there wasn't enough time.
It's a whole movie.
Oh, well, they're focusing on unfriendly people. Oh, I'm sorry. They're not unfriendly. They're just
on the not unfriendly people.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did like that they gave her and... they gave a lot of the people their own hero moments. So I thought that was really nice. But
so I will say that your things you didn't like reminded me of one thing I did like that I kind of forgot.
Oh, that's fine. Go for it.
Reba McEntire's character.
Oh, yeah. She.
So I thought it was fun that, you know, there was because the guy that's kind of a stereotypical character, the one militaristic.
Yeah.
Order or whatever, but I liked that she was into it too and was kind of a bad A as well. So that was, she was fun.
And she's also like, she cared about him as her husband also. It's almost like a very much, I want to say similar to Zoe's character from Firefly, how she could be very much the warrior, but also care about Wash.
Yeah, still have character, feelings, exactly. Emotion, whatever.
Yeah,
yeah. It was a surprisingly good character, mm-hmm. and I didn't remember that, you know, country music singer Reba McEntire was in it at all.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. And apparently this was her first movie, or one of her first movies, because in the behind the scenes I saw, it said that I think her agent called and said, yeah, Reba, this country singer wants to get into movies. And the director's like, all right, I'm a first-time director. I don't know if I want to be directing someone who's their first-time movie. But apparently she totally won them over, and that's why she got the part.
She sang them a little ditty, and they were like, okay.
I wish I knew some of her songs. I'd totally sing right now.
Yeah, me too. All country right. music.
All right, guys. Any last words before we get to the moment of truth? I just got that.
That's all I got. But no other words.
Paul?
I don't know. No.
All right. Alice, do you have a firing solution for us?
Firing solution complete. Rating salvo at the ready. On your mark.
Okay, guys. Let's tell...
So what does a firing solution have to do with the moment of truth?
We're back to this.
we're about to fire our truth bullets all over this tremor graboid.
Exactly. Oh,
that broke through our basement. Okay.
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, my. Paul, let's start with you this time. How would you rate Tremors, a classic or second class, and why?
So how I define a classic is... if a group of my peers are over and they haven't seen this movie, would I recommend it saying, oh, you've got to see this? And for Tremors, I'm going to have to rate it second class because they don't got to see it. It's fun.
I mean, oh, okay.
It's if you are a fan of B-horror movies, then I think I would definitely recommend this. I think it's the king of the hill when it comes to the B-horror movies.
Mm-hmm.
Since I'm not a huge fan of B-horror movies, I can't really recommend it if you haven't seen it. If you hadn't seen it, then I would suggest watching something else.
All right. Well, thank you, Paul. Kellen, how about yourself?
So my criteria is similar to Paul's, but I... add that to be a classic, it should be something that I one day at an appropriate age will demand that my daughter sit and watch with me.
I like that you're doing demand there.
It has to be demand because, you know, it's for a movie like this, she'll probably be at the age where I have to demand anything.
Good point.
Yes. So, and this movie, I am sad to say I have to rate second class. Yes. And this is despite the fact that I had really fond memories of it and really enjoyed rewatching it. But
yeah, I did too.
Yeah, I think I'm kind of in the same boat as Paul. I used to really be into B movies, but my wife Katie hates B movies, and so I never get to watch them anymore. And now that I finally got a chance to watch one again, I find I don't enjoy it as much as I used to.
Oh, you realize why they call them B movies?
That, well, I knew before, but I liked all the B bits, and now it just feels like a B movie.
Okay, never mind. I'll ask this question after Francisco.
You can say it. Yes, Katie ruined it.
Oh.
Why, Katie? Why?
Well, it's okay.
Well, how I rated the movie, as you might have been able to tell, was I rated it a classic. I really enjoyed this movie, and I definitely would show it to Sophia again when she's at an appropriate age. Certainly, like probably preteens, maybe a little early, but possibly preteens and teens.
Yeah, what was that? Yeah, I said I think you can get away with that. It's not too scary.
Yeah, exactly. So I had a lot of fun with this movie. Watching it again, it was definitely one that I would watch again. So that's why I rated it a classic.
But, sounds good.
Yeah, but according to the Retro Rewind podcast, Tremors is a disputed second class film. If you're in line with me, go out and see it. If you're more in line with Kellen or Paul based on past episodes, you probably want to go ahead and just leave this one in memory or just don't pick it up.
Unless you like B-movies, because we both agree, then it's a watch.
If you like B-movies, yes, check it out.
Yes.
Yes. Great B-movie. Bad movie. Yes.
No, it's not a bad movie, but we're moving on.
Hey, Francisco, would you say this is an A movie or a B? Would you agree that it's a B movie?
See, I don't have a great definition of B versus A movie.
So... All right, Avengers begins with the letter A, so it's an A movie.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's pretty much how you can tell.
Yeah, and if anything is as good as Avengers, it's an A movie. If it's not, it's B or less.
All right, then I guess B movie?
Okay, then how could a B movie be a classic? Because it's fun.
I really enjoyed it. Yeah, and that's how I rate classics.
Okay. Good enough.
Yeah. Because this is sort of getting a little deeper into my reign, but for those who care to listen, if not, skip ahead a minute. But if I'm gonna invest time to watch a movie that I've seen before, it has to be something that I enjoy. And I don't want to just be watching movies that I don't enjoy, so that if I still enjoy it from watching it as a kid, then to me, it's a classic.
Okay. And you didn't fall asleep?
No, I did not.
So that has to be a criteria.
Oh,
too.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. That is a new criteria. Yes. I did not fall asleep during it.
Yes.
It did help that I did watch it first thing in the morning, so that probably... That may have played into it, but no, I did not fall asleep.
All right.
But let's move on to our new tube segment. Alice?
New tube systems engaged.
All right. The part of the show where we talk about contemporary things, whether it's movies, music, books, what have you, that we are watching, playing, listening to, etc. Kellen, what's something that's new on your tube?
So it was a little bit ago, but it's the newest tube I have.
That's totally fine.
Ooh, no, I'm lying. I'm changing it up. Ooh. I had one, but I just switched it because I remembered a better, newer tube. So Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Go ahead.
Yes.
Oh, interesting.
So most of my friends have been kind of poo-pooing on it, but I have been really enjoying it. And I will admit that, hands down, I'm a sucker for anything superhero, and especially Marvel. But I have really been enjoying it. I think they did a great job tying it in with the Marvel movie universe. And,
oh, totally.
Yeah, and it's a lot of fun. I've been very much enjoying that.
Sorry.
Go for
it. I don't want to poo-poo on somebody's new tube.
No, it's okay. Like I said, any of my closest friends poo-poo on it, so... I don't even like you, so it's...
Oh, wow. I don't know how to respond to that.
If you ever recover, you can go ahead and say what you were going to say.
Well, I saw the first episode, and I'm a big superhero fan, too. But I was disappointed because I didn't think it interacted well enough with the Marvel universe. You have this whole universe of characters... And they didn't even bring any of the other known characters in. They had all these other superheroes that were made up and about things that you never heard of or people that, I mean, but my complaint is that they don't interact with the Marvel Universe. Okay, yeah, and at the end of the second episode, you had Nick Fury come in for 30 seconds or a minute, but... It's you're lacking the interaction. It's kind of like never mind. I'll just leave it at that. That's why I was disappointed.
I'd like to cap off this conversation by saying I really enjoyed Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I really enjoy seeing Agent Coulson. Yeah, I think he's a really fun character. And he has a Ron Glass, who is Shepherd Book from Firefly in it, so...
Yeah, that it was brief, but that made me really excited.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, and I want to find out what this cover up or whatever it is
over Coulson's death.
Yeah, exactly. I want to find out what happens with that.
Oh, you mean that he doesn't know he's a clone?
Well, see, I feel like it may be too obvious for him to be a clone. Me and Christy were discussing that, but let's move on. Paul, what's new on your tube?
That's another podcast.
Yes, exactly.
So Mine is Gravity. I wasn't going to see it.
No spoilers. No spoilers.
Okay. Because Kellen hasn't seen it either.
Okay.
Correct.
I
totally want
wasn't
to, but...
going to see this movie because I saw the trailer and it looks very intense.
I remember you saying that actually.
Yeah. And I wasn't going to see it because I was like, oh, I don't want to go. But so many people I talked to said, oh, you got to see it and you got to see it in 3D IMAX. It's like one of those things. And mm-hmm. It's like enough people around me said it that I was like, all right, fine. And one of those people was my wife. No, she was the one that said, hey, I heard so many people seeing it. I really, really want to see it. Mm-hmm. So I was like, all right. So the special effects are very well done. And the fact, like, you know, when they make space movies, how they like go in a airplane and then they like go all the way up and go all the way down to create mm-hmm. the weightless, and they can only do it for like 30 seconds or I forget what the time limit is.
Yeah.
But they have really, in this movie, they have really long shots of weightlessness that looks real. And you're like, how do they film this kind of thing?
Oh, interesting.
So the special effects are very well done. There's good acting by Sandra Bullock.
But not Tom Hanks.
You mean George Clooney?
Or George Clooney, the other guy.
Something that I wish I knew ahead of time, but I didn't. So I'll tell you now. It's kind of spoilerish, but not really.
Okay.
Is that when they talk to Houston on the ground, they don't ever show who they're talking to. It's just the voice. But that voice I heard was played by Ed Harris.
Oh, cool.
Who is the voice of ground control in Houston in... Apollo 13.
Yeah, yeah.
So I wish I knew that ahead of time so I could enjoy that part more.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'd recommend going and seeing it. And okay. I saw it in 3D IMAX. So I would recommend seeing it that way.
Very cool.
Yeah. Right on.
Oh, so Francisco.
There it is.
Yes,
I forgot what I was supposed to say or ask.
What's new on your tube?
Yeah, what is tube on your new?
Well,
I don't know about tube tops.
But what's new on my tube is the movie. It's kind of an older movie. It came out, I want to say, 1 or 2 years ago. But the movie Dread,
the
new Judge Dredd movie.
Yeah. Now, I've heard good things about that.
Okay. So, I don't think it's a spoiler to say that... first, let me say, I really enjoyed the movie. I thought it was a fun movie in terms of anyone who plays video games, which I'm guessing is quite a number of people, maybe even you, listener. But having this aspect of you start at level one and you work your way to the final level, to the final boss. Just that whole progression, I very much key into, and I love that. And just sort of ever more escalating fights and things like that. So I really enjoyed that. If you're queasy at all to blood, I would probably not watch this movie. On par or more than 300, if you've ever seen 300.
Okay.
Okay.
And I don't think...
More than 300?
Yes, I would say more than 300. Or
like
on par.
Kill Bill?
I'd say more than Kill Bill.
Okay.
Yeah.
If there was a pool of blood and you just knelt down and stared at it for an hour and a half, is it more than that?
No.
Okay.
Okay. We have a range now.
Yeah.
I mean, but think about it this way, guys. I mean, one of the drugs, the main drug that Dredd's trying to stop in this movie is called slow-mo, which essentially makes it seems like your mind's running at 1% speed. So you're like, everything's going on really super slow-mo. And you see people getting shot with bullets at that speed.
Okay.
So,
that's fun.
Yeah. It's a fun movie. It's very violent. It's certainly not for little kids. I don't know if I could watch it like I couldn't watch it on repeat, but I would certainly watch it again. Yeah.
Okay. Now I don't know if I want to see it or not.
Yeah.
Yeah, see, there's also yet either.
There's also some sexuality to it that I typically try to tune out to that. So I don't really know what happens, and I'm glad I don't, but keep aware that that is in there also.
Okay.
But yeah, I recommend Dread, all things considered.
If you've got really strong mental filters, watch Dread.
Yes, exactly. Carl Urban and the girl who's playing as the rookie are really engaging to watch for me.
Also, Stallone doesn't come back and reprise his role.
No.
Oh.
He does not.
Mr. Yeah, I am the law.
I am the law.
Carl Urban, who anyone who's seen Lord of the Rings played Éomer, he's Dread in this, and he has that line, but I feel he says it a lot more convincingly, if not Batman-esque.
But not as memorable.
Stallone kind of hands it up, so yeah, it's not as memorable.
Yeah, and you don't have Rob Schneider making fun of him.
Oh, gosh.
Mr. I am the law.
Oh, man, I forgot about Rob Schneider. I did, in the too. Original.
That's awesome. And I've never even seen that. That was just from the trailer.
Oh, really? Wow. Yeah.
You should see the original, definitely.
Yes. All right, guys. Thank you for sharing what's been new on your tube. Let's move on to our feedback and announcements.
ComSat Online. Receiving incoming transmission.
Okay, guys, so we actually have quite a bit of feedback. Most of it from one person. Paul.
Oh, sorry.
What would you like me to say? Comments? People commenting on the show?
I don't know.
Back in our Never Ending Story episode, which was episode 22, you can find at retrorewindpodcast.com/RRP22. Hopefully you're, if you've been listening for a while, you're sensing, or you're getting a rhythm there. Sensing a pattern, that's what I meant to say. Oh, anyway. Okay.
You don't want to make your rhythm too well known because the graboids will feel it.
Exactly. RJ said, this is the first time I've listened to this show, and I have to say I'm hooked. Thank you, guys. And hey, Paul, great to hear you.
Yeah.
So I think RJ is the, also Ryan Jackson, I believe.
Oh, you just outed him.
Sorry. before we said his name in the Facebook section.
Yeah, but maybe people didn't put the two together.
Oh, like it's two different people? Yeah.
Yeah, maybe. You never know.
So I responded just thanking him for that. And then RJ said, hey, actually, I know Paul through his brother, Josh. I saw the link on Twitter and was intrigued. So good job sharing the link on Twitter, Paul. Just want to say that.
Yeah.
Josh.
Or Josh. Yeah, actually, good point. Or Josh. And then thank you, Josh. And last, RJ said, I'm so glad you guys mentioned the music for Never Ending Story again. Funny story, I came across the soundtrack on YouTube a few weeks ago. Couldn't stop listening to it. Call me a geek.
Yeah.
Well, no worries, RJ. We're all geeks here.
Okay. Oh, in our own special ways.
Well, yeah.
No, in every way.
Or in every way, yes, exactly. And then we also had an iTunes review, which I'm going to bring up here.
All right.
Yeah. New iTunes review. Always love getting those. If you'd like to leave us a review on iTunes, go to retrorewindpodcast.com/iTunes RRP, and that will take you right to our iTunes page where you'll have to click. You'll have to click that. Take me to iTunes to then go into iTunes and rate the podcast, which is kind of annoying, but
that's Apple for you.
Oh gosh. But we really appreciate anyone who does take that step, because it really helps us be found in iTunes when people search for things like old movies or retro video games. So thank you so much for that. All right. So this is titled Radical 5 Stars by Jax Rye.
Yes. Radical.
Yes, this is a totally rad podcast that brings back the movies and games of my childhood in a really fun way. Thanks, guys. You're welcome. All right.
Well done.
Now I also have email. That's really loud. Sorry about that. I'm going to read.
You've got mail.
With Tom Hanks and anyone? No?
Tom Hanks and?
Meg Ryan.
Meg Ryan. There you go. I was worried, guys. So this is from Ryan Jackson, sent an email to, what's the email again, Paul?
feedback@retrorewindpodcast.com.
Exactly. So if you'd like to send us feedback there, that'd be great. He says,
isn't that what he said? Because
no,
that's his
he did not. He said,
that's what he sent it to.
Oh, okay. Good point.
I'd like to read this email, guys.
Why? We're having more fun. Sorry. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. Ryan here. I thought of a movie that might be cool for you guys to review sometime. War Games 1983 with Matthew Broderick and Ali Sheedy. I think I'm pronouncing your name right. Just a thought. God bless you guys. Oh, thank you so much, Ryan. So me and Paul haven't talked about it, so we can talk about it right here. But I respond saying...
Right here, live on the air.
That the reason we haven't done War Games is because I didn't really see it as a kid. I did see it in college. And our threshold for watching movies is we want it to be a movie the three people doing the roundtable have seen in our youth. But I think we may have done some movies that either Paul or I or the co-host has seen, or guest host has seen in college. And that's kind of youthful. So what do you think about doing War Games, Paul?
Like Independence Day I saw in college.
Oh, really? Okay. Well, yeah. There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah. Have you seen it really recently, though? Because that's another stipulation we have. We want to wait a couple years since we last saw whatever movie we're going to roundtable.
I'm looking at the DVD that I own of War Games, and there's a little dust on the top, so I haven't seen it recently.
Okay.
Good method. That's good.
Yeah.
Very scientific of you. All right, cool.
Yeah. According to the dust level, it's been at least 5 years since I've seen this.
Wow. So,
yeah.
That's extreme dustage right there.
Actually, seriously.
All right. So, Ryan and anyone else who would like us to review War Games, you can look out for that. We're not sure when we're going to get to it, but we will be. That is on the list.
I want to review Scott Pilgrim versus the World. That's a fun movie.
I do too, but that's way too recent.
Oh. Well, it's a classic, but.
Oh. Oh.
That one's free for the listener.
Yeah, I actually had
not so retro pause instead of rewind podcast.
Yeah. It is retro, but not so much rewind.
Yeah.
Okay. Well,
anyway, let's move on. That's the feedback we got. How can people contact us if they'd like to reach out to any one of us? Let's start with Cullen.
If they want to reach me, man, they should contact you and you can put them in touch with me.
Oh, okay. And again?
How do they contact you?
You can contact me.
Ominous you.
Via our email, which is again, feedback@retrorewindpodcast.com. How about you, Paul? How can people reach you?
I'm on Twitter @PaulJPowers, and you can also find me on other social medias through pauljpowers.com.
Very good. And you can find me on Twitter. I'm @FXRUIZX. And Paul, do you know where else people can find the show on social media?
They can find us on Pinterest and Twitter and Facebook and .com. And you can also find it on a broken iPod in the street. Somebody downloaded our episode.
Okay.
That's actually my iPod. So if you find it, go ahead and tell Francisco to tell me that you found my iPod.
And we will get that iPod back to Colin.
Yeah. That'd be great.
Now, did you discard it because you're unhappy with Apple or...
It's not mine. No. Oh, his iPod.
It was. I'll be honest. It was that specific podcast. It was terrible.
Must have been an earlier episode.
It's yeah, just exactly. Because I wasn't the guest host. I'll be
honest.
Oh,
so. Okay. So that's most of the episodes then.
Well.
Nice. All right. Thank you, Paul. Thank you, Colin. Yeah, and you can find all those links, of course, in the show notes. Again, retrorewindpodcast.com/RRP23, the number 2 and 3, not spelled out. And I think that is all for this time on the Retro Rewind podcast. I want to thank you so much, Colin, for being on the show once again.
Hey, my pleasure. Anytime.
Awesome. And thank you, Paul, for always being the co-host.
Oh, it's my pleasure. I appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem.
I look forward to it. And thank you for hosting.
I was going to say, why did I say no problem to you saying it's a
pleasure? Nope.
Because you enable it to happen. You're the puppet master here.
Oh, so I had the forethought of knowing that you were going to thank me.
Sure.
As a matter of course. A
puppet master would.
Oh, yeah, okay. Well, I certainly don't pull any strings over anyone, over you, the listener. So really want to say really thank you so much for listening, for downloading our episodes, for repinning us on Pinterest, for liking us on Facebook. It's really awesome that you guys interact with us in that way. And I want to say, yeah, just thank you. So if you want to support the show, the main two ways you can do that is just telling a friend about it, saying, hey, check out the Retro Rewind podcast,
they don't like it, they can also tell a friend and tell them. Because, you know, there's no such thing as bad PR.
I didn't like this, but maybe you would. or
what show really annoys me? This one. Really? I got to check that out.
Yeah, and then you find us on a broken iPod somewhere. and then, or you can rate us on iTunes or Stitcher Radio, again, to help our search rankings on those. So thank you so much for all your support in any form it comes in. And like a Pokemon, we'll catch you later on the next Retro Rewind podcast. Eventually.
Any kind of
like a Pokemon X or Y.
So what if they want to support the podcast by getting rid of it?
Retro Rewind mission complete. Like,
here's proceed what I think of you guys. I'm going to send my support as a bomb and blow you up.
Well, we don't have a mailing address, so that'd be kind of difficult.
Oh, okay, that's good. So, we're already at the end of this?
They're in the ground!
That's what that music means.
They're under the ground!
I'm picking up good vibrations. She's giving me excitations. I'm picking up good vibrations.
Wow. Wow.
That was pro.
That was. All right. See you guys.
Wait, we can see?